This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by the BYU Store, simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now, from Studio B, here's Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan.
It is Friday. This is how we do it. BYU Sports Nation is live. Your day-to-day play-by-play back in Studio B, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. January 7th, wherever and however you're connected. Great to have you with us. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with the man who always practices his half-court shot, Jerem Jordan.
Last night, the Qualtrics half-court shot competition, a student named Colton Potter, who's one of our production assistants here, he helps produce BYU Sports Nation sometimes, he made the shot. He made the shot for $8,000. I joked to him after tax and tithing, hopefully it's at least four. So nicely done by Colton from half-court. And he said he knew it was going in the moment it left his hand.
He said leading up to the shot, he was feeling extremely confident.
And look at this POV video. That's his wife in the stands from his homie Jared Ivins. Oh, this is great. Now, I just wish Colton had gotten a little more excited. I just don't think he was that into it. Disappointing.
I've never seen him lose his mind like that. He's very even keel.
Every game he's in the rock, he loses
and
his
relax.
Mind.
Yes, every that game. That is his outlet. Now, the fan mode is his outlet.
Now, and there's a reason he works BYUSN. It's in the morning, so he can go to the games at night, right? That's nice. I got to call he and Jared out, though. Sometimes they'll edit for a show, and they'll put themselves in the show. But I think that's pretty smart, because no one knows his editing. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, look at these crazy fans. That was us.
We would do the exact same thing
Absolutely.
If we were in their position.
Absolutely.
Jared and Colton were booing me at one point last night on the sideline, too. And I turned to them and said,
well, sometimes you deserve it.
I know who signs your paychecks. The booing stopped after that.
And it's Kevin J. Worthen.
Congratulations. Lunch is on Colton with his new $8,000 prize.
Seriously. So, yeah, we were discussing. We're like, is this like gambling money? Is it dirty? And you don't have to pay tithing, or you have to pay tithing on it?
It's interesting. Well, technically, he doesn't put anything on the line. It's just a chance to win some prize money, right?
Yeah. I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm kidding.
Here's your show lineup.
The church doesn't want dirty money.
Feel Good Friday. Are you all feeling good about the current state of BYU men's basketball? Are the Cougars still the second best team in the West Coast Conference? The standings currently say they're first. Technicality.
Take that, Gonzaga.
We'll hear from head coach Mark Pope on what's next in just a moment at St. Mary's. Plus, a lady in the running to be the nation's best rebounder. Lauren Gustin makes her Studio B debut, where she feels like 18th-ranked BYU has to be better. And meet the new BYU running back. The transfer from Cal, Christopher Brooks, makes his BYUSN debut as well. Why did he choose BYU over the likes of Purdue and others? Bring on today's BYU Sports Nation headlines.
BYU Hoops beats Pacific 73-51 thanks to 15 points from Alex Barcelo, who surpassed 1,000 points as a Cougar, becoming the 52nd player in program history to do that. Coach Pope knows that the next game, St. Mary's, brings a different challenge tomorrow night.
They're really big and really physical. You know, probably, you know, in the top two or three most physical, toughest teams in our league. So every game with them, I mean, I don't know what the point differential's been in our tenure here, but I think it's like averaging 1.5 points win or lose.
Well, the first three were decided by 6 points total. Then BYU won by 10-plus in both last year. But, yeah, it's going to be fun tomorrow night. BYU on top of the WCC, as you mentioned, 1-0. For now, St. Mary's in town tomorrow night. Pre-game on BYU Radio at 9 Eastern time. Game also on ESPN2 an hour later. Rebroadcast, by the way, on BYU TV at 1 a.m. Eastern.
Late night viewing.
Let's go.
BYU wins. A lot of people will be staying up for more late night basketball viewing. That's how it works, right? I always find myself staying up super late after a big BYU win. So I expect to be up late. 18th-ranked BYU women's basketball beats USF to open up the Cougars' conference campaign 76-64. It wasn't nearly as close as the final score. Lauren Gustin, who will join us in about 12 minutes, earned her sixth double-double, 16 points, 14 rebounds. Paisley Harding led the Cougars with 19 points. BYU hosting Pacific tomorrow, 4 Eastern, live on BYU TV.
Number 6, BYU men's volleyball opened the season by getting swept by 24 points at number 5, Penn State. First Nittany Lions win versus the Cougars since 2003. The two tangle against, again, Saturday night. Certainly a different and younger BYU men's volleyball team. Excited to watch them grow together, but there will be some growing pains, including what happened last night.
Sure. Gymnastics fans and the Gymternet combine. Tonight, the Best of Utah meet goes down in the Maverick Center in West Valley, Utah, to kick off the 2022 season. Four teams, including fourth-ranked Utah, national contender perennially.
Good for them.
BYU, number 19 in the preseason polls. Utah State, Southern Utah, 25-26, respectively. All four teams competing tonight, 9 Eastern. You can watch that meet live on BYU TV as well. I'll be on the call with Mikkel Merkley.
Cougars in the NFL this weekend. Daniel Sorensen, Zane Anderson, and the Chiefs play the Broncos Saturday.
That's a win.
Taysom Hill and the Saints play the Falcons Sunday.
That's a win.
Zach Wilson goes up against the Bills.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. Kyle Van Noy and the Patriots take on the Dolphins, among others, in the final regular season games of the season.
And that's a win.
Michael Davis and the Chargers battle the Raiders with the playoff spot on the line.
I have no idea about that game.
That one's a fun one.
I can't wait to watch that game. BYU men's tennis currently competing in the Hawaii Invitational. Runs through January 8th. They take on the Cal Bears, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in singles. BYU's Brigham Andrus.
Hold up, what?
What's that?
Brigham?
Brigham.
His name's Brigham.
At Brigham.
I like that.
I've met Brigham. Good dude. And Zach Fuchs won in doubles. BYU's Zach Fuchs and Wally Thane. They earned a victory. Jack Barnett, Tennyson Whiting, and Yuta Kikuchi and Carl Emil Overbeck also winners in the doubles fashion.
There's a lot going on there. Is Zach Fuchs related to Phil, who played men's volleyball? And then Tennyson with a Y? Are we like the writer that we're talking about? Like Bill Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Swimming and diving competes in the Utah Dive Invite today and tomorrow against the Utes.
All rise and shout. It is time for What's Trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's What's Trending on BYU Sports Nation.
What's Trending, presented by Bodyguards, protection for a life worth living. Learn more at bodyguards.com. First place BYU men's basketball. Technically speaking, that is the truth. How long will that last? And will it last to the point where BYU is at least the second best team in the West Coast Conference when all is said and done at the end of the 2022 campaign? Jerem, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level that this current form of BYU basketball, injury-plagued, finding ugly ways to win, is still the second best WCC team?
Like 7.5? I just need to see BYU play St. Mary's to really know.
That's the litmus test.
And I want to see BYU play San Francisco. Gonzaga. If BYU beats Gonzaga once this year, it'd be fantastic. That'd be great. They're over there. We know. Is San Francisco legit? We're going to find out in person next Saturday, right? In San Francisco, BYU is going to play the Dons. Wait, they could have seen them in Salt Lake yesterday. They played Loyola Chicago. Huge game. Huge game tomorrow night, because we're going to see just how good St. Mary's is. St. Mary's certainly good. The numbers are good. I've seen them play in person. They're good. Like, they're back to St. Mary's, top 40 type team, on the bubble or in type group.
They're back to being a team that makes me make weird, ugly faces.
Yes.
Because they're frustrated.
No ugly faces, just smiles, because BYU dominated. But tomorrow's a huge game, man. We're going to see. So am I confident? My confidence is in question due to no bigs for BYU besides Foose right now. Atiki's not playing a ton. Right, he's a freshman. Mark Pope told you after the game he needs to play more. We'll see, because Matthias Toss is 6'10 and like thick, right?
Yes, BYU needs size.
With Foose, that's going to be a tough matchup. Of course, Foose provides a long wingspan and broad shoulders and is tough down low. But like, can he match up and neutralize Matthias Toss and company? Dan Fotu is a tough matchup for BYU. I think maybe he and Caleb Lohner will be interesting. The guard line matchup is going to be spectacular with Logan Johnson, Tommy Cousy versus Tijon Lucas, Alex Parcello. So I won't really know how I feel, at least the initial thought, until after the game tomorrow night.
I'm glad this game is in Provo.
Yes.
Because
sure.
If this game were in Moraga, I would not feel nearly as confident. I'm glad that BYU gets to play St. Mary's in Moraga in the future and not tomorrow night, because the way the BYU's played the last few games against Westminster and Pacific, and maybe it's the COVID situation and holiday travel, and maybe the first half was enough to shake off the rust from the holidays.
You'd think.
And then
it's
you got
been like
things
2 weeks.
Going in the second half. BYU wins by 22, but I'm a little bit lower than you on the confidence scale, just because I feel like the difference between second, third, and fourth, I mean, we're splitting hairs right now between BYU and St. Mary's, and then even throw San Francisco into that mix.
Normally, I'd be like a 9.5.
Yeah, yeah. I'm probably like a 6.5.
Right. Yeah. I feel you. Similar level of like, hey, and if Richard Harwin, even just one of those two, if Gavin Baxter is playing,
eight and a half, 100%, 9.
Yes, BYU's the second best team because Gavin was coming off 3 double-digit scoring games, and the knee was getting healthy, and he was running the floor so well and blocking shots. Now it's like, I'm not exactly sure how BYU's going. Playing Pacific's one thing. Pacific's terrible, 298 in net. They're awful as of yesterday. I haven't seen if they dropped it. They probably climbed because they played BYU, who's 30. We'll see what happens, man. St. Mary's is good. This is going to be a battle royale like it normally is. It's going to be messy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy and teeth grinding and Randy Bennett in the oversized suit. Like, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
If you want to know what the game is going to be like, just watch what St. Mary's and Utah State did in Logan. Jerem, you were at that game.
I was at that game.
I feel like it's going to be like that type of game.
St. Mary's started 0 for 13 from 3 in that game. They were awful. Like, if that happens, BYU wins. BYU's shooting 3 really well right now. 12 of 24 last night.
They're just turning the ball over too much.
Yeah, you win by 22 despite, 17 turnovers?
Wild.
It would have been 35.
Yes, 40-point win.
10. BYU averages, I think, 12, right? That's crazy. Okay, topic two. How many St. Franzaga, that's what we're calling St. Mary's San Francisco, congrats, you're in the
San Francisco's been upgraded.
Yeah, and Gonzaga wins.
Comfort plus.
St. Franzaga wins. Does BYU need to have to secure the 2 seed of the West Coast Conference Tournament? Remember, you go all the way to the semis if you're the 1 or 2.
Okay, so out of the 6 games, we hope that BYU gets to play against these teams,
no,
right?
No. That's happening. The league will make that happen.
They will make it happen.
That will happen.
6 games that BYU has scheduled right now will happen at some point against St. Mary's, San Francisco, and Gonzaga. I feel like BYU needs to secure at least 3 of those.
Amen. Yeah.
3-3 in those 6 games would be enough to put BYU in second place.
Well, and let's be honest. Let's just assume 2 losses to Gonzaga. If BYU wins one of those, amazing. You upset the apple cart.
But if you win the other 3, you're sweeping one of the other 2
teams.
You're
3 of 4, yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Hopefully you win both home games and you lose 1 road. The 1 road probably in Moraga would be understandable, acceptable. Losing at San Francisco is something we've seen, Spencer, a bunch of times, it feels like. Not as much as Pepperdine, oddly.
No, Pepperdine has beaten BYU more.
If BYU doesn't play Pep or Portland at all this year, I'd be fine with that.
Like, until the past few years, BYU won at War Memorial Gymnasium in San Francisco. But things have changed under their new head coach, Todd Golden.
Even the 2019-20 team lost at San Francisco.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Like, that team was amazing and still lost that one.
3-3 will get it done.
3-3 would get it done. I agree with that number, which brings us to our resume update. Cue the music. Nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Net is 30. That stayed the same. KenPom's 26. These are great numbers.
Hey, and that's in spite of playing number 298 in the night rankings Pacific last night. I'll take it.
8.78 bracket matrix. Bracketology up to an 8 today. And because BYU's 1-0 and Gonzaga hasn't played yet, BYU is the automatic qualifier from Joe Lunardi. Which this morning I was like, why is BYU the AQ? And you and Ben explained. It's because in the conference standings, BYU's the only team.
They're the only team that has a win.
Yeah, so up to an 8, which, listen, if this team, without Gavin Baxter and Richard Harwood, actually secures a single-digit seed.
Amazing.
To me, I'm like, just make it to the tournament. With those 2 losses, just make it.
If BYU beats St. Mary's tomorrow, that 8 seed starts to feel like a real solid 8 in Lunardi's bracketology.
That can be undone quickly, though. Like, if BYU loses at San Francisco next week. Remember, these next 3 games are massive for BYU. St. Mary's at home, at Gonzaga Thursday, at San Francisco Saturday. Woo!
BYU's got to take care of business at home. Like, worst case scenario, they need to beat St. Mary's at home.
Hold serve, yes.
And then whatever happens on the road against Gonzaga and San Francisco happens.
What are we calling just St. Mary's and San Francisco? San Mary's?
Yeah, or St. Francisco.
St. Francisco. I like that. I like that one.
You got to take care of St. Francisco. 3-1 against St. Francisco.
Because, like, yes, if BYU beats the Zags, of course, it's going to add the best possible win BYU could have on the resume. Let's just pencil in losses there. And if BYU wins those, great. But if not, you got to take care of business in 3 of the 4 against St. Mary's and San Francisco. It'll be interesting, too, because I want to make this point before we finish. The committee does not look at teams by league and go, well, we only think this is a three-bid league, so you know, one of you doesn't get in. They look at every team individually, and then they just happen to be attached to that conference.
Sure.
They may look at, oh, games against these teams who are also in your league and how many from that league, but they're not looking to secure X amount from a certain league. Look at the ACC this year. Like, it's not great.
Down.
Yeah, so it's not like, well, I don't know if it's a three-bid league. It's an individual conversation with the selection committee.
Yeah, amazingly, I don't feel like my initial projection of what BYU was going to do this season goes down that much. They went 12-3 in the non-conference. I feel like I had them with 6 losses overall, but that's with Gavin Baxter and Richard Harwood in the lineup.
I would add a loss.
A
or
loss,
two.
Yeah. I'm probably at 4 losses in conference and 7 overall.
Team ranking says 11-5 in WCC play. Ooh. 5 feels like a lot. 4 would be fine.
Okay.
2 to Gonzaga.
Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are all of you that BYU men's basketball remains the second best team?
You mean the best?
In the West Coast Conference.
Want to know?
Right now they're number 1. Let's go to Voice of the Nation.
This is the Voice of the Nation on BYU Sports Nation.
Oh, yes, I was waiting for a response like this. At Tom New for answers on Twitter. He says, ask me after the game Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. By the way, Bentley Hanshaw, tight end, who hasn't played a ton for BYU in the transfer portal, is going to Liberty. BYU plays Liberty. It's a little matchup. We'll see you again, Bentley.
The transfer portal always creates some weird emotional dynamics because BYU gets a running back, Christopher Brooks, who we will talk to later, who's going to go back and play in the Pac-12 against his old rival, Stanford.
Yep.
And then Houston A. Mooley was a Stanford guy, and now he's at BYU.
Stanford.
And he closes the season next year or next season against his former team.
Yeah, it'll be like the Virginia game all over again. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, brother. Coming up, the newest running back, Christopher Brooks, makes his BYUSN debut.
And all she does is pick up double-doubles. I'm not talking about the hamburger either. Lauren Gustin, one of the top rebounders of the country, joins us next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Double-double machine Lauren Gustin and the 18th-ranked BYU women's hoops team, 11-1 now, host Pacific tomorrow at the Marriott Center, 4 Eastern on BYU TV and the app.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. We are joined by that double-double machine, BYU sophomore forward Lauren Gustin, with us in Studio B. Lauren, I can't believe you're a sophomore. You're going to be here for 3 more years? Is that really going to happen?
I mean, as of right now, that's the plan. I don't have any plans to go elsewhere to stop. So, yeah, as of right now, that's the plan.
No hurry. Stay as long as you like.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Are you the best athlete in your family? We know Porter's a good athlete, but are you the best athlete in your family?
You know, my dad would argue 100%. So, you know, I wish I could say that. But, I mean, my mom and dad, honestly, I feel like my mom could have been, she was up there.
Wow. Tell us about your parents. What did they play growing up?
Yes. So my dad played football. Well, growing up, they played a range of sports. My dad ended up playing football for Wyoming, who's his quarterback. And then my mom played basketball actually at BYU for 2 years. And then her and my dad got married, and then she transferred to Wyoming to play her last 2 years there. So, yeah, she was like a 3-4, so kind of like me a little bit. But, yeah, she loved to, rebound, shoot. So she also was really good at track in high school. So, but, yeah, so I feel like my mom definitely kind of, my dad won't be too happy about that one, but.
You've got the genes, and obviously, you know, Kristen has talked to me in asking about you. The influence of Porter on you wanting to get into the weight room has been really influential on in your life, right?
Yes, yeah, 100%. He kind of introduced me to all that, and it kind of helped me, like, get my passion for that, and, you know, the whole importance of sleep and eating and all that has just been from Porter. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Lauren Gustin is with us on BYU Sports Nation. I was just going to ask, where do you find your motivation on days where you're tired?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you came back from San Francisco, got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're here with us in the morning on BYU Sports Nation. But this is like par for the course for you. You're up and at the gym. Where do you find that motivation?
Honestly, I feel like it's just kind of like it's like a therapy for me, the weight room, which sounds like a little cheesy, but I feel like when, you know, when I'm stressed or just kind of need to get away, the weight room's always been like a good place for me. So, I mean, that also, I think, just being around, like, my teammates, they're so motivating. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of them had class, like, super early this morning, so they were up there getting into class. So just being around girls like that have always been inspirational to me.
You guys are 11-1 and ranked 18th. Things are going really well.
Yeah.
You're one of the best teams on campus right now, and you're super fun to watch. What's it like with this group that's super old together because of COVID?
Yeah. Honestly, the leadership is insane. We have so many different leaders. The girls are, I mean, our four seniors, well, super seniors, they're so such good role models for all of us. You know, even me being like a senior technically on the team. But
academically,
yes, being that, I feel like, I mean, I'm looking up to them every single day. They're always there to push us. You know, they never really let us slack, which I feel like is good. They hold us to a high standard. So, you know, we're really lucky to have such good leaders. So,
who tries to slack the most? No, I'm just kidding.
Don't answer that.
Yeah.
There's an account on, I think it's Instagram, the women's basketball managers.
Yes, yeah.
They post the most hilarious videos.
I know.
They're good follow. Like the one of Paisley Johnson and Maria Albiero. Sorry, Harding now. Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just so much juice and energy
yeah.
in the squad. It's do you guys ever have a bad day? It feels like someone in the group is going to lift.
Yeah, there's so much different energy. I feel like all the girls were so different, all of our personalities. I feel like that's what kind of what makes us like us. Everyone brings something different to the table. It's so diverse. But yeah, we can always count on Paisley to spice things up all the time. So
leadership is huge for sure, and I'm guessing that's a big part of how you stay focused when you go through the frustration of back-to-back postponed games. So how do you personally handle the frustration of not being able to play and staying right mentally?
Yeah, I think you know, our coaches do a good job at kind of keeping us focused. You know, all right, time for the next game. We'll prep for one, and then we'll find out it's postponed. So, you know, we want to be frustrated that we just spent, you know, two practices scouting for them. But they just kind of, you know, all right, this is COVID. This is how it's going to be. We'll just get prepped for the next. So I think we're kind of used to that, and we just kind of have that in the back of our mind that this is going to happen. As long as we just stay focused and get ready for what's next, I think that's kind of what just helped us, you know, get through the at least last week, our two postponed games.
If you can stay focused when Paisley Harding is doing her thing, whatever that is, you can stay focused through anything.
She's insane. I love her.
She is insane in the best way. She's great. And it's obviously COVID sucks for so many reasons, but the benefit has been that we've had this extra year with some of the best BYU athletes ever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been special that way. This group is so good. You can definitely make a run in the NCAA tournament, obviously a lot before then.
Yeah.
So what's the focus like now? Is you're 11-1, the one loss was in OT against Oklahoma, a real tough game, right?
Yeah.
An opponent you might play in 2 years, right?
They're ranked now in the top 25.
There you go. There you go. So what's sort of the you know, discussion with the team of, hey, let's keep this going.
Yeah. I think that, you know, like yesterday, just games like that, you know, we got to really execute on just like the little things, like, you know, our defense, our communication, and not really slacking for any game. You know, trying to get up for every single opponent. Doesn't really matter what their record is. You know, if they're ranked, not ranked, we just kind of got to keep putting our foot on the pedal, just keep going, and not really have any mercy for any teams. That's kind of our mindset.
A Cobra Kai mindset.
Yeah, and exactly. And just to not really settle for anything.
Strike
so.
First.
No mercy.
Lauren Gustin is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's dive into the where we can improve more conversation. Like, if you had to pick one aspect of the game as a team, where do you feel like the team can improve the most?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know that we can all score offensively. You know, I think we have so many different offensive weapons. I think right now, just our defense needs to be picked up a little bit. You know, we're known a lot for our defense. We are connected in that way. But, I mean, I feel like we've been slacking a little bit the last couple of games. I don't know if that's due to not having games or just, you know, not being as connected. But so definitely our defense. For sure right now, and just kind of, you know, not getting beat off the drives or not giving up as many points as we have been. So as of right now, I feel like that's probably our main focus.
I feel like I'm being nitpicky because you're 11-1. You're ranked number 18.
Yeah. I feel like you're
hey,
good.
How do you get better, Lauren?
Yeah, I think you're fine. Just keep doing what you're doing.
You're a shot away from being 12-0. Don't call me had the ball at the end of regulation.
I know.
And that's, let's be honest, on Selection Sunday, that's an acceptable loss. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're second in the country in rebounding. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing that Larella Kubaj of Georgia Tech has the same 12.8. So it's like, it's like down to the wire here. Do you want to lead the nation in rebounding? Is that a goal? Is that a thing you've thought about?
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, I like to take pride in my rebounding. I think that's something that is so fun. Just a board. So I mean, that's my goal. But I mean, as long as we're winning and I'm doing my job, I mean, I'll be satisfied with that. But I won't be mad if I'm first.
Second's amazing. First is amazing. what is it about rebounding that you enjoy? Because that's not a mindset that everybody has.
Yeah. I feel like I like it so much because it's mostly just based on effort. You know, I can't really control if my shots are gonna go in. So I feel like rebounding, I kind of can control if I'm going to go to the boards or whatnot. So it's also just kind of fun to be physical down there and just kind of I'd be a little bit of like the underdog, a little bit just being my height. I think it's fun to just kind of get in there and go after them.
I love watching you play. I know Spencer does too, because yes, that like fight and that physicality is unique.
Yeah.
In the game, at what age were you like, no, this is what I do? And is that part of your DNA with your family?
Yeah,
feels like you guys like that.
Yeah, no, we definitely like to be aggressive. I feel like probably in high school is kind of where I started like establishing that role. But I mean, I think I just kind of realized like, okay, it's I can get in there and like bang people around a little bit. So, and then also just. In high school, I was lucky with a great coach and a great team that really had confidence in me to kind of do whatever I wanted to do, and that's kind of where I learned to have that passion as well.
The following phrases will come up every game when Lauren Gustin is being discussed. Plays bigger than she is, undersized. Do you like that?
Yes.
Does that motivate you in some way?
No, I do actually. I like it a lot because I feel like when I was being recruited by a lot of different schools, you know, Pac-12s, all that, they all told me that I was too small to be, you know, like a 4 or 5. They just said, you know, like, we love you, like, we love your play, but like, you're just not big enough. Like, you're not tall enough, you're not big enough. So I love hearing that stuff because it makes me feel like I'm proving something in a way. So, I think it's fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Next challenge is Pacific tomorrow.
Yes.
I know you guys will dig in more today.
Yes.
But what's the challenge of, beating the Tigers and being 2-0 in league?
Yep. I think our biggest thing is we're going to be home. So that's fun. First off, just to be back on the court. You know, we never lose at home. That's our motto. So I think it'll be fun to play in front of our home crowd again. But just to, you know, keep rolling, we can't really look down on any team no matter what. So we just kind of got to come in with that mindset that, you know, we're ranked 18th in the nation and we're not going to let anybody think that they can play with us. So
I think the streak at home is like 35 or 36, if I recall.
It's pretty wild.
It's pretty good.
Yep, we're
it's
trying to go a whole nother year without losing at home. So
let's go. I love it.
I cannot emphasize enough, if you are close to Provo, the BYU fans need to get to the Marriott Center.
Come watch this
and
team.
Watch
Seriously.
This team play.
You guys are great.
Like, watch this team play.
It's so fun. And if you're outside the market, watch it on TV. Like, watch this.
Yeah, I know. I know. We love the fans. When they come, the energy is so different. So, yes, please come. It's at 2 tomorrow.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Saturday afternoon. Yeah. It's the winter. You don't have to mow the lawn or anything. There are no excuses.
Yeah.
Just be at the Marriott Center tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
2 o'clock local time. When you come on the show, we do a thing called BYU Sports Nation Karma. You're already amazing. We're going to give you some karma.
All right.
So you can get maybe like one extra rebound that's
going to
put you on top of the NCAA leader list.
I think it's like a 15-15 day. That's what I'm feeling.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah. Well, what is this 15-15?
15 points, 15 rebounds?
Oh, got you. Okay, yes.
I say two numbers in a row, that's points and rebounds for you.
Okay.
That's what that is. When I say 15-15 here, that's probably time. You know, it's a different world.
Lauren, great to have you with us.
Thank you guys
B.
so much for having
First
me.
Time. First
yeah,
time.
Go.
You're
yes.
fantastic.
It.
Yeah. Okay, coming up, is the Max Hall curse officially over?
Plus, peace out, Berkeley. Hello, Provo and BYU Sports Nation. New BYU football running back Christopher Brooks joins us next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
19th-ranked BYU Gymnastics opens the season tonight in West Valley at the Maverick Center with the Best of Utah quad meet against Utah, Southern Utah, and Utah State. 9 Eastern on BYU TV and the app.
He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton, and this is BYU Sports Nation on a Feel Good Friday. To interact with the show and get content throughout the day, follow us on the social media platforms of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
We have learned a bit of off-the-field news. Timberly Satake, Kalani Satake's wife, posted 2 hours ago on Facebook that they are expecting a child this summer. So congratulations to the Satakes.
Wow, big news.
Kalani's 46. It's a little Lehi Abraham move here. But congratulations to the Satakes, who are expecting, what, their fourth kid, I think?
This will be child number four.
Congratulations. That's great. She posted plot twist.
Which is a well-executed social media post. Congratulations to the Satakes. Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are all of you that BYU men's basketball is still the second best team in the West Coast Conference? We're going to find out some things against St. Mary's tomorrow night. Jonathan Hawk says, I'm a 7 out of 10 that BYU is the second best WCC team. I would be more confident if both of BYU's big men weren't out for the season. Also, my confidence level will fluctuate depending on how BYU does in the next three games, considering BYU's playing the other top teams in the WCC.
Yeah, and it's a great question, because how will BYU fare against some bigs that aren't Westminster, aren't Pacific, right? BYU has done a tremendous job with this coaching staff the last, you know, 2+ years of figuring it out where they need to. No Yoeli Childs for 9 games. What are we going to do? Like, they figured it out, right? And we're a projected 6 and then an actual 6, and then this team's a projected 8 right now. So I'm confident they'll figure it out. It's just, it's one thing to lose one guy, it's another to lose two. BYU's down to its third string there, right? That can prove to be tough. You know, if BYU was down to its third string and didn't have Tyler Allgeier, right, the season's different. The season's not going to be exactly what it was going to be before. By the way, Lauren Gustin mentioned her dad played quarterback in Wyoming. He did play against BYU in one game in 91, when 3 of 6 for 30 yards. So that's a fun little connection.
Did Wyoming beat Ty Detmer in BYU?
No, BYU won that game 56-31.
There you go.
So, yeah. I think John was maybe a backup who came in that game, but yeah.
At Pask_PaskBYU answers the question of confidence for BYU men's basketball. Scale of 1 to 10, 8.4 that the Cougars are still the second best team.
Okay.
Mostly because of the lack of depth. So he's justifying why it's only down to 8.4?
What would it be?
10 if they had a big man? Especially with the big man, he says, but if the center rotation can keep Toss in check on Saturday, then it will go to a 9.6.
Interesting. Yeah, if BYU beats St. Mary's on Saturday, you know, how much higher up does that go? I still want to see BYU against San Francisco, because I still need to see San Francisco a little bit more in league to believe they are an NCAA tournament team. It's not out of the realm of possibility, Spence, that you can go from not even an NIT team to an NCAA tournament team. You can make that jump. I just want to see San Francisco a little bit more. I'm not quite ready to be like, yeah!
San Francisco had an opportunity to get a big-time victory yesterday against Loyola Chicago.
Yeah.
On a neutral court, Salt Lake Community College.
Home of Shep.
The Ramblers and Dons meeting up at a JUCO court in Salt Lake City. Weird, but it is what it is. And they had chances late in the game. They couldn't close it out against the Ramblers.
And that's okay. They're 13-2 in non-con. Like, they're going to play a tough, tough non-con. Did win at Arizona State. Like, trust me, San Francisco's good. It's back to the Mitch Matthews elite thing. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just wondering how good they are. Because being a tourney team, we've talked about it. There's like 6 at-large bids the last, you know, 5 years of non-Power 6 teams. It's super hard to get in at-large in a league like the WCC.
Hey, speaking of the Bay Area, BYU just picked up a big-time transfer out of the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah.
And Berkeley, the newest BYU running back, transfer from Cal. Christopher Brooks joins us live on BYU Sports Nation, making his show debut.
Hey,
he's staying hydrated.
Stay hydrated,
we
baby.
Like to see that. Christopher, great to have you on the show. How you feeling this morning?
I feel great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you got it. And welcome to the madness that is BYU football and the fandom that is already surrounding you. When did BYU pop up onto your radar as a potential landing spot?
December 28th, I believe.
You know the exact date.
Yeah. I think it was just I think they were just looking for a running back that day. And then, you know, I had a business decision to make. And, you know, hit me up. And I was just like, oh, snap. You know, we all know what BYU can do. We all know what the offense was about. You know, we all know what the head coach is about. You know, love and learn. And an opportunity just presented itself.
Why was BYU an enticing fit in addition to those things you just mentioned? Like, why for you personally was, hey, grad school and this opportunity at running back, obviously, with Tyler Allgeier leaving?
Well, really, I think it just encompassed me as a person as well. Not only as an athlete, but off the field as well. And so it was just the right fit, you know, at the right time. And that was really what made it click for me, you know, what really drew me away, what separated itself from everybody else.
Now, Christopher, let's be honest. How much did BYU's 5-0 record against the Pac-12 and a de facto Pac-12 championship factor into your desire to be in Provo?
Oh, I know. I actually just found that out, like, recently. And, yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty impressive.
We had some fun with that. It's going to be fun to have Houston Haimuli from Stanford, who you played a couple times as a rival, now in the backfield. Did you know him before? Is there a relationship there?
No, I actually, you know, never knew him. You know, I never knew anybody on Stanford. And it was really a coincidence, you know, rivals coming to play with each other. And so I thought that was pretty cool.
And now you can play Stanford again in the regular season.
Yeah, what do you think of the schedule lineup? You're going to face your old Pac-12 rival Stanford to close out the regular season. Houston Haimuli will face his former team to close out the regular season. But overall, what do you think of the 2022 schedule that BYU has lined up?
I haven't looked at the schedule too much, but I think it's a great opportunity. You know, I think there's opportunity to be great. You know, I think it's opportunity to just, you know, show what we're about here. And I think everything just lies ahead in front of us.
Let's tell you what the schedule is, then. This is exciting. Okay, there's Notre Dame in Vegas. That's fun. This is not in any particular order. There's at Oregon. You know what that's like. There's at Stanford. There's Baylor at home. These are some of the better games. There's Boise State on the road, of course. So it's the last schedule of independence for BYU, and it's a good one. What kind of opportunity is there for you individually to try and make it to the NFL and to try and help BYU win as many games as possible?
I think there's tremendous opportunity. You know, I think there's opportunity to just be great. But more importantly, I think it's about pitting, you know, my head down, and not only me, but everybody, and just working hard each day. You know, we can't get to the first game if, you know, we don't get through today's workout. You know, it starts with today. And today, you know, transitions to tomorrow. And so the more, you know, today's we can have, the better today's, you know, we can get to the next day. So it's about taking, you know, baby steps. You know, we have to be where our feet are. And that's just about, you know, taking it day by day. That's what it's about, really.
New BYU running back Christopher Brooks is with us on BYU Sports Nation, the Cal transfer in Provo. And while we're talking about NFL ambitions, everybody and every BYU fan wants to know what your skill set is like. They've seen highlights and some resume, but in your mind, if you were to pattern your skill set and game after an NFL running back, who would you compare it to?
You know, I've got this question many times before, and, you know, I really try to think, and I really can't think of anybody I run like. I think just myself. I mean, it's really hard to describe. Because I don't do anything, you know, too fancy. I don't do anything, you know. So I'm kind of just a balanced type guy who kind of just likes to do everything, willing to do anything to just help my team win.
I'm excited for you to run behind this offensive line. This O-line's going to be legit. Let's talk about your name. So do you go by Christopher or does Chris work?
Really, I've always just told, you know, anybody could just call me, you know, whatever. You know, I've gone Chris, Christopher, CB, Breezy. I really just get it all. I mean, you call me Chris, whatever makes you feel comfortable, really.
CB with the TD. Yeah, I like that. I think we're going to hear that a bunch this season. And then the other thing is, you used to go by Chris Brown. Now you go by Brooks. I read that's your mom's maiden name. Will you tell us the story behind that?
Right. So I just did that change, I think, a year or two ago, just to, you know, honor my mom's, you know, hard work and compassion that, you know, she's instilled in me growing up.
What does she mean to you?
She means everything to me. You know, I know everything because of her. And, you know, I just, you know, work to just, you know, live a better way.
Christopher, as you look at BYU and the program status overall, what was your first impression of BYU? And maybe that happened back in 2018 when you and Cal came to Provo, won the game against BYU. But what was your very first impression of BYU, if that was the game when it happened?
When I came over here in 2018, obviously the elevation was crazy. You know, we got a little tired, but playing against BYU was like, you know, you wanted to smash them, you know, wanted to win at their house. I mean, it was a fun game, but I've always known that they had a good system here, that, you know, they've always done things the right way. The running backs always made noise. I believe when I came here, I mean, I think it was Tyson Williams. I mean, the running backs, you know, they're producing, you know, so I knew that. Obviously the quarterbacks are really good. I remember coming here 2018, I remember seeing like a 6'9 defensive lineman. I was like, what?
Yeah. Corbin Kabuzi.
So I was like, wow. Yeah. Like, you know, then I'm hearing like everybody's older, you know, and then I was like, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. Do you feel pressure to be Tyler Allgeier? Because you're certainly a different guy and a different style, and BYU just had an amazing season from this guy, and you're the next guy, so naturally some fans will be like, hey, maybe he's the Tyler Allgeier. But you're Christopher Brooks. You're going to do your own thing.
Yeah, I'm just me, you know, and I'm going to do me, and I'm going to be me, and, you know, I'm a team guy, and I just love to win, you know, so I'm going to be me. That's all I'm going to do.
And that's great, and that's good enough, absolutely. If you haven't already, the athletic director, Tom Homel, used to be the head coach at Cal. He'll probably connect with you if he hasn't already, yeah.
Yeah, I just met him.
Awesome, awesome.
And if you need any pointers about Provo, Utah, like where to eat or whatever, not that you wouldn't get those from your teammates or from your coaches, we're happy to offer what we can, Christopher. Great to talk to you, man. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thanks for welcoming me into Provo. Thank you.
Hey, stay hydrated, too.
You're doing Let's go. Yeah. All right, Christopher Brooks on BYU Sports Nation, the new running back for the Cougars.
Super mature, right?
Really like, sharp young man.
Yep. And I thought it was important to talk to him about, you don't have to be Tyler Allgeier. Like, you're you. You be you, right?
No. And
that's going
to
be good.
I figured
though.
He would say that once he told us, you know, hey, compare yourself to an NFL running back. He's like, I'm just me.
And he hadn't even seen the schedule. I would think that the schedule is a big convo in recruiting anybody to BYU. He hadn't even seen it.
No,
he mentioned Love and Learn. He knows all the
It fits me as a person, this school.
That's great.
Great. Grateful to have him here.
I'm so excited he's here. Coming up, did we nail our double down picks? And what do we have for good old Randy Bennett and St. Mary?
And the Cougar Whip Around features a little BYU men's volleyball concern. Is it too early after they were swept by Penn State? It's BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Bodyguards, protection for a life worth living. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Maersk, enabling global trade for a growing world.
BYU Hoops host St. Mary's tomorrow at the Marriott Center. Cougar Pregame Live begins at 9 Eastern with the game at 10 Eastern on BYU Radio and the app.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live on a Friday in Studio B. Let's whip it! Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your integrated container logistics company enabling global trade for a growing world.
Men's Hoops currently sits atop the West Coast Conference standings. How long will the Cougars hold on to first place?
All season long, Jerem! Blue goggles on!
Blue goggle alert.
Probably until the end of regulation against Gonzaga. Then it'll be a tie for
first
place. I was
going to say next Thursday night.
Yeah, a tie for first place after next Thursday night. That's what is likely to happen, but man, it would be amazing. Wouldn't it be something if this were the year with all of the injuries and attrition that BYU finally got out the schneid and won at least a West Coast Conference tournament championship?
That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't put it past Mark Pope.
But will you put it past Mark Few?
Maybe. Maybe. BYU men's volleyball gets swept by Penn State last night on the road. Is it too early to be really concerned?
Well, concerned at what level? Like, are you expecting BYU to win the national championship? This is certainly a different year, a younger group for BYU. Davide Gardini, Mitchell Worthington, and a lot of newcomers. There's some exciting young players on this team. Luke Benson and Capone Brown. Alex Asu is going to get a chance at opposite. New setter and Bartosz. So it's going to there will be some growing pains, but this team will be fun.
Yeah, I guess we have to qualify the concern. Like, are we concerned they're not going to be a top six team? I don't think so. I think that BYU will learn, they will grow, and they will finish as a top six team.
Yeah, will they win the MPSF? Hey, maybe, but chances are they don't. But
we'll see.
They're going to work on it. Let's go. Former BYU quarterback, the legend Max Hall, scores a hole-in-one on a 197-yard par 3 with a 6-iron. Brian Keel was there as a witness. Is the Max Hall curse officially over?
Look, he was on the sideline for the Utah at BYU game on September 10th.
Looking
he ran
jacked.
Out the flag. BYU won the game. He celebrated like a madman, like he should. And then he scores an ace on a golf course from 197 yards. Yeah, I'd say that things are smiling brightly from up above on Max Hall. The Max Hall curse is done. It's dead.
It was over September 11th. I don't know what January 6th hole-in-ones have to do with it.
In fact, some people think that Tyler Huntley's poo-poo curse is now a new thing against Utah.
They sell poo-poo. He said those words. Hilarious. Okay, coming up, a fond farewell to a loyal Cougar.
And I make a move in the double down standings.
Did you?
A very small move. Yet a move. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Catch the rebroadcast of tomorrow's St. Mary's BYU basketball game, 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 11 Mountain at night, Saturday night, or on demand Sunday morning on the BYU TV app.
BYU Sports Station always available on demand via the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps. As Jared mentioned, hey, there's podcasts, there's all sorts of stuff.
You can download the pod, it's free.
Let's recap our double down results from the Pacific BYU men's basketball game last night, live on BYU TV, and make our picks for the rivalry game with St. Mary's. Two picks, each worth 1 point. If you get both right, you get a bonus point for a total of 3. Jerem, lead us off with last night's picks.
BYU does not cover. No, they cover. So I don't get a point. Bart, I was feeling good at halftime about that one.
BYU was down 1 with 8 seconds to play in the first half.
Yes, and then Barcelo would get his 8 points for 1,000 in the first 8 minutes. Nope, he got it late in the first half. So 0 points.
So I said BYU would win by 18 plus.
Got it.
Yeah, they scored a lot in the second half, went by 22, so a point for me. Then I thought Gideon George would combine for 15 or more points and rebounds. Almost got there at 8 points, 4 rebounds for a total of 12, but falling short, so no point there, no bonus points.
You get a point.
So I make a very small move. Jerem still leads 24-13 overall.
Yep.
Now how do you, hopefully on your end, increase the lead tomorrow?
One, the game will be decided by 5 or fewer points. KenPom says it's a 5-point game for BYU, and neither team will have a 20-point score. I think this will be a lower-scoring kind of game, and individually it's going to be in the teens for the leading.
Sure. Yeah, I'm with you on the low-scoring. First team to 50 wins.
First team to 50?
It just feels
don't
like that type of game.
Don't remind me of the 51-50 game,
right?
In Vegas.
Yes! It hurts. First team to 50 wins the game. And Fusini Traore will have a double-double, Jerem. It's going to be big tomorrow.
We should do an over-under tongue rolls when he talks, because he's at, like, an elite level, dude.
He's so great.
He speaks 3 languages, Bambara, French, and English. That's amazing.
I love Fus.
He's awesome, dude.
And he's very hesitant. He's great.
Yeah, his deep blue, by the way, in 2 weeks.
Our question of the day, on a scale of 1 to 10, with Fus and the guys, how confident are you that BYU men's basketball is still the second-best team in the West Coast Conference? Our elite voice of the day, presented by Sundance Mountain Resort, J. Floyd 314, says a straight 10. I'm not as worried about BYU's big man issues as some of the responses seem to be. Fus is one of the best bigs in the league right now and will only get better. The only team I can see challenging BYU for number 2 is USF. Wow.
Really?
Not even St. Mary's.
Wow.
So we'll see how BYU looks from here. They got to beat St. Mary's. It's a huge game tomorrow.
I'm excited
night.
To watch St. Mary's play San Francisco and Gonzaga. And, yeah, well, not that much with Gonzaga, actually. But the other 3, it's
sure.
going to be fun.
Now, we have a very special rise and shout-out today presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, one of my favorite BYU Sports Nation elite fans. Deanna Holdsworth at DD Holdsbrook. She was such an often contributor on the show, Jerem.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away due to cancer. Thursday's hero with Bronco, staunch supporter of our Cougs for many years. Rest in peace, Deanna. That was tweeted out from her account by a family member. We love Dee Dee. Her smile was amazing. She was so kind.
Yes, she was super nice and a huge fan of the show. And I didn't know she was on her last legs.
I mean, she would tell us, like, hey, I'm going through chemo. I'm fighting. I'm battling. Yeah. BYU Sports are taking me through.
Yeah. And so I was really bummed to hear that last night. So rise and shout out to Deanna for sure.
Love her resilience. Yeah. We love her family. And certainly what we can do is give her a shout-out. Now she deserves it. Absolutely. Our thanks to today's guest, Lauren Gustin, and the new running back, Christopher Brooks.
Sorry to Dennis. Ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout-out to Kirk Pendleton. We'll see you tonight for the Best of Utah meet, BYU Gymnastics season opener, live on BYU TV at 9 Eastern. Go Cougs and beat the Gales on the hoops court.